Welcome back to the Reptiles With Podcast. We're hanging out at Repticon Orlando in July. But before we get started, hit like, hit subscribe, and share with your reptile-loving friends. This episode was brought to you by Repticon Reptile Shows, Premium Crickets, and Reptiles Express. Let's get started.
All right. My name is Matt Baranek. I'm from Sassobeck Reptiles. You can follow me on any of the social medias at Sassobeck Reptiles or Sassobeck on Instagram.
Gotcha. Where does the name come from?
The name is actually the Egyptian crocodile god is Sobek. Sa means son of. So it's like the son of the Egyptian crocodile god.
Jesus, you really thought about that,
dude. Right? Yeah. And it's like, I didn't want to use my last name. And then like, I didn't want to do like geckos because like, I want to do more than just geckos, so It's one of those things where...
Got you. So I thought for the longest time that was your last name.
No.
Wow.
It's actually not. Yeah.
Wow, because everybody is last name Exotics, last name Morris. Reptiles. Cool.
Yep.
So primarily you are working with the leopard geckos, or are you working with anything else other than that?
So basically my business is leopard geckos, but Then I also have a bunch of other stuff at home. I've got green tree pythons, emerald tree boas, one of the largest collections of monkey tail skinks in the country.
Oh, shit.
And then I've got blue tree monitors, yellow tree monitors, some cool stuff.
Okay, and with those monkey tail skinks, are you doing any of the morphs that people find?
So the only real morphs that, kind of came in and they don't even know if it was genetic is like the Exantic one.
Yeah.
And it was like 10 grand for the pair or something. Jesus. And I was like, maybe that's a little bit too expensive for my taste. But like they are like very like polygenetic. Some have more spots, some are blue, some are more green. So every single one of them looks totally different, which is pretty cool.
And when you're breeding them, are you able to like pull out some of that polygenic stuff? Like if you're putting stuff that like is higher in color, are they actually coming out higher?
Well, that's
color?
The crazy part is it takes so long to grow them up to actually breed them.
How many years?
So working at an AZA facility, I'm able to like kind of look into like when most females are actually breeding and stuff like that. And
gotcha.
I actually just looked this up the other day. And out of the last 3 years of captive bred animals, the earliest that a female ever had a baby was 6 years. And then the other one was 8 years. And then most of them are in their teens. And then the oldest was, I believe, 43 plus years old.
Wow.
So, it's a crazy... And a lot of people don't know that about prehensile tail skinks is that they're actually very communal. They actually go crazy if they're by themselves. And they get like really aggressive and mean and stuff like that. So they actually do a lot better keeping them in groups.
Yeah.
And that's what I do at home is like I keep them in groups that are their social structure is okay because even though they might be a male and a female, they might not get along. They really like pick their own like cage mates and stuff like that. So it's really crazy.
Will they do fine? Because there are some, different species of reptiles that you can keep them communally, but there's always a rule of thumb. Like you don't want two males together. Is that similar with the monkey tail?
So that was always kind of the rule of thought. Don't put two males together.
Yeah.
I actually have two groups that are 2.1.
Wow.
And they are perfectly fine together.
Interesting.
So that just throws a whole wrench into everything. And the crazy part about prehensile tail skinks is, they have live birth. It's one to two babies, usually only one. The mother and the whole group, which is called a circulus, they will actually take care of the baby.
Uh-huh.
So they will protect the baby. The baby lives with them for multiple years before it finally leaves. So they're almost more like mammals than reptiles, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
They actually communicate via tongue flicks. They make a noise even.
Yeah.
So they're just very, very interesting animals.
Would you think that the group or the mom might go through some kind of depression taking the babies out? Would that be a stressful environment or stressful situation rather?
It might be, but it also might be one of those things where, if a baby died or whatever, I don't know if they would go into a depression or anything like that because I've never, I haven't gotten that far in my research yet.
Gotcha.
But it's very possible. And honestly, the baby, kind of needs to learn how to be a skink and learn social behaviors and stuff like that, which is another thing. If they're pulled too early, they never learn any of that. And if they're put by themselves, they never really learn how to interact with other skinks. So then it becomes a problem later on whenever you try to introduce another skink because then they're very aggressive thinking that it's something that's going to hurt them.
Interesting. I really wonder what the functionality of throughout their evolution, why is it that they need to wait so long to breed? how does that function for them in the wild?
I mean, it might even be like something like cow tortoises, because they're from the Solomon Islands, so from small islands. And, you know, a lot of those island species are very different in how they reproduce because there's not as many predators, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, and whenever I say 1 to 2 babies a year, it might be every other year. So, you know, talking with another breeder that he's been breeding them for 30 plus years, he said that usually it's every 2 years and not every year. But there are cases where they will breed every year or, you know, it might be 3 years in between. So it's not a consistent thing. Like, you're definitely never going to make money off of breeding monkey tail skinks.
Yeah. That's a passion project.
Yeah, that's a passion project. Yeah. And that's what it is for me. Currently, I have 28 of them, which is pretty freaking crazy to have that many.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, most of them are getting up to a size where they're probably about a year away from breeding. I only have 2 adult females. And then a lot of the rest of them are juveniles to 1 to 2 years of age.
Cool, cool. So before we get into leopard geckos, I do want to ask a little bit about your history in, like, the zoo field.
Okay.
So you're working for Disney.
Yep.
Can you explain what the position is?
Yeah. So basically, I'm a relief keeper at Disney, where if other keepers are on vacation, they need to kind of plug in a spot. Like, that's where I come in.
Okay.
My managers will let me know a couple weeks in advance what dates they have available for our CT keeper group to work. And there's 4 of us, and we kind of like send what dates we can work.
Yeah.
And then that way, you know, we kind of get plugged in. If there's dates that can't be worked by us, then they offer it to the other keepers as like overtime.
Okay. Yeah. So how let's say I wanted to get into the zoo field.
Okay.
What's the roadmap?
It's different for everybody.
Okay.
Like, for my specific, like, case, I never graduated college, which a lot of zookeepers, you know, have their college degree and stuff like that. And I almost feel like, in a way, it's a waste because – not a waste. I mean, schooling is always good and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not the be-all, end-all to get into this field. I mean, basically, you're – glorified like poop cleaner. So to get a degree, and then the notorious thing about being a zookeeper is like the lack of pay. And a lot of these zoos are in like cities where it's expensive to live, and you're making like $18 an hour, and it's just like it's a hard life. A lot of zookeepers nowadays that I see in particular, like younger ones, either come from a family that can help them out or are married to somebody that has a job that can help support
them. And it gives them the luxury to do the thing that they love.
Because it's very hard to get into the field without either one of those. Like, you're going to be, you know, kind of living the college lifestyle where you've got multiple roommates to even make ends meet and stuff like that. So it is kind of sad. And then on top of that, you have to pay all these student loans back. And it's in my personal experience, and what I would tell people is to get as much experience as possible. Like, if you can volunteer at a zoo and stuff like that, maybe become an intern, working at vet clinics, anything to do with animals that could be helpful. And then the other kind of crazy part is there's a big kind of, there's not a crossover between zoo field, private sector, and research people, like, which it sucks because it's just going to hurt the industry as a whole and the keeping of reptiles, because, you know, we could all learn from each other, but there's definitely like these kind of walls that are built up where, you know, zookeepers think the private sector is, you know, a bunch of people selling, you know, imported garbage and stuff like that.
Yeah.
When, you know, a lot of the private sector is years ahead of zoos because they focus on a specific species and then they know everything there is to know about them. Whereas zoos, like, you have to kind of be a generalist. And now zoos are actually going more towards not even being a generalist of herps, but all these mixed species exhibits that a lot of places are going to, you got to know about birds, mammals, you know, aquatics and everything, because it's a mixed species exhibit.
Yeah, yeah.
So it actually, zoos are kind of going away from specialty in a lot of places, and they're going more towards like a general like keeper, if that makes sense.
Interesting. So now we'll talk about the business.
Yep.
Give me a little bit of history and correct me if I'm wrong. So you were doing a lot of leopard geckos.
Yep.
There was a break.
Yep.
And then now you're back into these
yes.
leopard geckos.
Yep.
Now, is there Is there a reason for the species? Is it something that like you just love to work with? Is it like a, from an investment point of view?
Honestly, it really all started, like, I grew up working in a pet store whenever I was younger,
uh-huh.
and I had, like, reptiles back then. I had bearded dragons and all kinds of different stuff, and bred some stuff back then. Ended up going to the Army for 4 years, and while I had, you know, I was living in a dorm room, basically, and I was like, oh, I'd really like to have, like, something. And I, you know, went through the local Petco, and I was like, oh, let's just get a leopard gecko. And got two leopard geckos, like they were just normals from Petco, you know what I mean? And I started like looking more online, and this is back in like 2005-ish. So it's like kind of infancy of the internet, if you will. And, you know, started seeing like all these like cool looking ones. And I was like, oh, like I'm making some money now. Let me invest in some like cool ones just to like see if I can breed these things. And that turned into meeting my mentor. Alberto Catalini from A&M Gecko. He's out of New York. And, you know, we developed a really good friendship. And at one point, he was not able to produce enough for his customers. So he was like, hey, do you want to, like, you have a lot of my animals. Do you want to, like, partner up and, like, do this? And that's kind of where, like, the business side of it started. It was right as I was getting out of the military. And we, at the time, had two different collections. And then whenever I moved to New York City and actually lived with him, we kind of put the collections together. He was developing a mealworm allergy, so it was actually very, very hard for him to work on the animals.
Yeah.
So he became kind of like the business side of it. I became the animal side of it. And then I was in New York City for about a year and then moved to Pennsylvania, took all the animals with me. And it just was like really hard to, you know, send him pictures for him to do the internet, and then it's hard to be in two different places and do it. So basically we just decided that I would just buy out the company as you know, buy all the animals, racks, all that stuff, and then just kind of be out on my own.
Okay.
And that's what we did, and now he's actually doing thumbnail frogs from Colombia.
Cool.
So he's actually one of the only people that can legally import them into the U.S.
Oh, wow.
Actually, the only person that can legally import them into the U.S., which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, interesting.
So that's really good for, you know, captive breeding, because what they do is they actually, they have the permits to have these thumbnail frogs and breed them in Colombia, and then they're allowed to export them once they're captive bred in Colombia.
Okay.
So it actually cuts down a lot on, you know, the illegal trade of them and stuff like that, because a lot of the frog people actually would rather have, like, legally collected stuff than illegal stuff. Which, that's kind of the cool part about the frog community, is they kind of do self-police themselves. And, it, you know, there's a lot of different mutations of these. Ophaga is what the genus name is. And, you know, almost each individual hill in Colombia has their own color, which is, you know, it's crazy how many different, like, types of colors they have. So that's a really cool thing. And then the second tier thing that they're doing is, because people that are so into frogs, they want to go see them in the wild, they actually do tours of, like, seeing them actually in the wild, which is pretty cool. And what they do with all the money is they actually buy up land to help conserve the frogs.
Oh, there you go, man.
So it's really awesome.
Back to conservation.
Yeah, exactly.
Good stuff. So you're back into these leopard geckos.
Yep.
What do we have here?
So a lot of the stuff that we have right here is my Joker Project stuff. So this one is a bloody Joker is what I call it. So it's actually like a blood tangerine stripe crossed to my Joker stuff, which the Joker stuff is just the new and improved clown project that I was known for right before I got out. And it's basically like a tangerine crossed to a bold stripe in a way. And then you get these like crazy colors and stripes on them. So this one's more orange. And then we get like ones that are more green, like this one, which I don't know if the camera will pick that up, but that's...
I'll go take some videos about
that later. That's pretty green for a leopard gecko. So the green is actually probably going to fade out a little bit and become a little bit more orange, but I am breeding these into the Black Knights to create the bands to be darker and longer, basically.
Very cool. Now, are any of these for sale? Any of the Joker stuff?
These one, everything has a price. But like these are probably going to be my holdbacks and breeders.
Got you.
Like this one has like a crazy orange stripe on it. So this one... is actually it looks powder coated, like the orange stripe is almost like 3D looking, which is pretty crazy, which and that's not a color that you normally see in leopard geckos.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, just this, the contrast between the orange stripe and the really dark speckling is, you know, it makes it stick out so much.
Yeah.
That's very cool. So something like this, what would it cost?
So right now, like, if somebody gave me, like, $3,000, I'd buy that. But I have, you know, lesser, like, looking ones on the table. They range anywhere from, like, you know, $200 to $1,000, depending on color and striping and stuff like that.
So you think that there's still enough space with leopard geckos for them to be solid investments?
I think that, you know, my goal coming back into this is to make leopard geckos cool again, honestly.
Cool.
Like, because, you know, there's that rush of crested geckos right now, and I think once that calms down a little bit, like, people are going to be looking to get into something else.
Cool.
Kind of the bad parts that we've had with leopard geckos here recently has been, like, the lemon frost and the tumor issues and stuff like that, which I'm glad I missed that whole thing. And then the next craze was the black knights, because everybody likes the solid black ones. But, you know, a lot of people are finding that, you know, there's a lot of inbreeding issues with those, infertility and, you know, being small and stuff like that. So hopefully, like, we can kind of, you know, adjust the market into more colorful, crazy looking stuff again. And then, you know, more people can get into it. Because these guys, from an investment standpoint, are a lot better because they're all line bred, because it's all polygenetic. It's not just simple recessives or anything like that. So you can actually make these better, and then once somebody tries to outcross them, it's all gone.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, one of those things where, like, these, like, line-bred things can hold their value much longer.
I have a buddy of mine that specifically breeds leopard geckos, and he heavily invested in lemon frost. And, you know, I was telling him, he's like, oh, but maybe one day if I outcross them enough and whatever. And I was telling him, like, dude, like, no, like, there's papers on this. Like, this is, like, a legit thing that's happening with this gene, you know, and it's just, we should probably move out of that.
Yeah.
You know, these animals, you know, in essence are being bred to have a problem.
Yeah.
You know, he'll liken it to, like, a spider ball python. And I'm like, dude, like, it's one thing saying something is a little wonky, it's neurological, and it's another thing being like, yo, like, we're literally giving this thing cancer.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe we just shouldn't do the thing.
Yeah.
Yep. Interesting. So if somebody was getting into breeding leopard geckos today, what direction would you say they should start at?
And this goes across the board to anybody wanting to get into reptiles in general. Like, get stuff that you like and that you love taking care of, and that you like. My prehensile tail skinks, for instance, like, I just love them.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't get in it for any sort of monetary value, because, you know, you got to enjoy, like, taking care of these things every single day. Like, don't get into ball pythons because you think you're going to make a million. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it goes back to the whole, like, you know, how to make $1 million in ball pythons, you spend $3 million.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's just one of those things. Like, so don't ever think of these animals as, like, a monetary thing. Think of them as stuff that you want to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The commodity is not the animal. The commodity is the experience that you get to go through.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool beans. Well, we got to get you up here for one of the long form podcasts.
Absolutely.
We
got
to link up very soon. Thank you so much, buddy.
Yeah, no problem.
Tag yourself one more time. Where can people find
you? All right. At Sassobeck Reptiles or Sassobeck on Instagram.
My name is Brittany. I'm with Ward's World of Reptile Propagation. We're on TikTok at WWORP, YouTube at WWORP, Instagram, Facebook, Ward's World of Reptiles, all the good stuff.
Cool beans. All right, let's get going. So you do this with your dad?
Yep.
Is this something that you've done with him since, like, I guess you were real young? How long has he been doing this?
So he started, like, back in the 90s before I was even born.
Okay.
And then I was born, and I grew up with it.
Yeah.
So, like, I didn't know it wasn't not normal to have, like, a million snakes in your house. So I grew up around them, like, cats and dogs. And then when I got a little bit older, he got out of them, and then he got back into them. And then when I was around 12, and then when I was around 12 is when I started to have more interest in it.
Yeah.
So that's really about the time I started to get involved and started to learn about genetics and stuff like that.
Damn, so 12. That's a bitch.
There was like a 3-year period where we had only a few geckos and a few corn snakes, but other than that, majority of my life I've had hundreds of reptiles.
That is crazy. And then, so was it like a natural progression? How would you say for him it was when you were like, all right, I want to do this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, was he like excited getting?
Yeah, he's always wanted me to do reptiles.
Okay.
He's, like, always wanted me to, like, be in the business with him.
Yeah.
My brother, he's, like, always been in and out of it. He just got back into leopard geckos now with his own business. But The very first thing I actually wanted to start breeding was African fat tails. So that was the first thing I started. That was like more like by myself. We've always sort of been like 50-50 partners.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't like actually 50-50 partner until after I graduated in 2018. But that was like the first thing that I wanted to breed that like didn't involve my dad, that I wanted to learn the genetics on, that I wanted to do. So yeah, he was thrilled.
So this is something that you guys are both doing full time?
Yeah. After I graduated, my dad was only working part time at a grocery store. I did have a part-time job just during the summer at an alligator farm, and where we worked hatching the alligators, and that was actually really nice. I liked it, but alligators hatch the same time snakes do, so I couldn't do that, and my dad quit shortly after that too, so now both just full-time.
How many shows are you guys doing a year?
We cut back a lot. I mean, we were probably doing like 30 shows a year. You know, that's over half of your weekends gone.
Yeah.
Now I'd probably say it's like closer to like 15. So we cut back a lot. Morph Market has, we joined in 2018, has really been like what saved us.
Okay.
Especially during the pandemic. So primarily we do online. Mm-hmm. Then we do the shows too.
Man, so something that I always ponder is how would it be? Because I mean, full time I make websites.
Yep.
As I deal with websites, okay, cool. You know? And then, you know, on the side, my business is the reptiles.
Yep.
So I always wonder, like, what would it be for me to be able to go full-time with it? Was it something that when you were, like, since you've been doing it for so long, we were like, well, we know that this is what's going on financially. Yep. So you're like, oh, well, I could just do this.
Yeah. So I've always sort of, like, kept an eye on the finances, even when I was in high school. Like, I was, like, the one who was primarily, like, looking at the finances. And, of course, we have an accountant. We have a really good accountant. We spend a lot of money on a really good accountant.
Hell yeah.
For that reason. But I was still obviously living at home. I didn't move out till 2020. So it was enough just to pay for my dad and for his bills and everything. I had hardly any bills. You know, I had car insurance and that was it.
Yeah.
And then when I moved out, but I moved in with my boyfriend. So I wasn't like fully like on my own. Like I wasn't responsible for a full rent payment.
Yeah.
But I looked at it and I said, okay, this is how much I need to be able to pay myself a week, along with what my dad has to be able to pay, along with what the animals have to pay. So I said, this is what I need to make minimum a week for me to even move out. And once I hit that and I was steady with that for a while,
yeah.
I was like, all right, I'm getting out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then, so the majority of the animals you sell, you guys are producing?
We rarely buy and sell. In 2020, we had to buy and sell more because we literally sold out of every single animal we produced. We didn't have one animal left.
Well, 2020 was ridiculous.
It was.
Yeah.
So we did some buying and selling then, but primarily right now, we produce everything that we sell. If it's not, then we list it otherwise.
Damn, how many species are you guys working with?
We used to do a lot of leopard geckos, but we transitioned to mainly snakes now.
Okay.
Mainly because of the feeding bill. And plus, the leopard geckos I sort of just got burnt out on. African fat tails got burnt out on. So we primarily work with ball pythons. We primarily work with corn snakes, king snakes, milk snakes. We have a hog nose. But I want to say corn snakes and ball pythons are like the top two.
Okay.
Yep.
Damn, that's crazy. Would you say that variety has been the key for you guys?
Yes. My dad has always been wanting to have variety. He doesn't want you to walk up to the table and you see, you know, two or three different morphs. He's always wanted a big variety, especially in the corn snakes. Ball pythons is important, but especially in the corn snakes because there is a large variety.
Yeah.
But you don't see a lot of it ever. Yeah. I mean, you come to a show and you can look online, you see tons of variety, but I mean, especially the corn snakes, there's a lot of variety, but a lot of people don't work with the different varieties.
Yeah. I think that for somebody like coming at it from a like an investment point of view, corn snakes are really good because it doesn't cost a lot to produce them. They do multiple clutches. Mm-hmm. You're not feeding them for a certain part of the year. They're going to be sleeping.
3 months with not feeding like 200 snakes is nice. And let me tell you, I sell more corn snakes online than ball pythons.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Of course, you know, some morphs don't go for as much, but I sell more corn snakes online than ball pythons. And I sell more ball pythons at a show than I do corn snakes.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I sell like 4 corn snakes at a show, and I sell like 20 ball pythons, but online it's like the exact opposite.
That's crazy. It's weird. I always have a hard time selling ball pythons, and that's usually the majority of the stuff that I bring.
I feel like part of it for us is, like, because we have such a spread.
Okay.
And so my dad is always, like, he's always been, like, trying to, like, spread it out. So I feel like it's because we try to, like, make it look like we have, I mean, we do have a ton, but we try to, like, spread it out to make it look like we have a lot. That way when people walk up, they see a lot and they think they're getting a lot of variety and stuff like that. So,
I understand.
I think it's like part of the quantity that you have too.
Something that I get worried about being a breeder and mm-hmm. trying to do it full time is that there's like an off season. There's a season where you're not producing animals.
Oh, yeah.
How do you guys like manipulate that within like, I guess, your inventory or maybe even some of the animals that you guys are breeding?
So I know what times of year those are. Yeah. And I like dread those times of years. They're going to happen. I call it my broke season.
Uh-huh.
Just because I'm not producing animals and it's like the awkward time of year. I'm waiting for them to hatch.
Yeah.
So we try to buy and sell some. Like, I don't really do it with corn snakes. I'll do it with ball pythons, but really I don't trust buying a lot of animals wholesale from people. There's only certain people I'll buy wholesales from as far as the ball pythons go. So I will try to throughout the year, even when I have a lot, still buy a little bit.
Just so you have some extra.
Yeah. But really, you know, it's like you have to be tighter on your wallet during those.
Kind of create
months.
Like a savings for those times.
Yeah. I look at the sheets and I know what I have 2 months that are a toss-up of what's going to be my worst month, and uh-huh. so I usually know what months to look out for.
Okay, cool, cool. Where do you guys do this work? Is there, like, is it your dad's house or just
so
a house in general?
Everything is out of my dad's house right uh-huh. now. We have the garage fully dedicated. We have sheds out in the backyard. We have some animals that are, like, outside kept. When I moved out, I fully renovated my room into like, what I call the baby room. And if you've ever been to our house, mm-hmm. I have a lot of customers that come and pick up. They see the baby room. It's just full-on racks and baby corn snakes. And then we have another room that's like the office/incubator room where all my incubators and my desk is and stuff like that.
That's cool. You're living my dream.
At my house, I have zero reptiles.
That's crazy.
I clean them and see them all day. I don't want to come home and take care of them. So.
I feel you. Cool. So what's the future? What are like your plans like going forward?
I always think about that because I'm not 100% sure. I do stuff on the side. Like I do cakes on the side too.
Yeah, I saw. I've seen those.
So I do that and I do want to grow that because I love baking and I love doing cakes and stuff. And it's really hard because right now I have like no weekends left in a year because I do shows and then I have weddings because most weddings are on weekends.
Yeah, yeah.
For the cakes that I do.
And that's a good business.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. And it's hard because I love the reptiles, but as my dad gets older, it's going to be hard for him to do.
Yeah.
And so he's just got into like carnivorous plants and all, and which I like too. I like plants, and that will be easier for him to do. And I told him, you know, if we do really well with these plants, then we can cut back on some of the snakes.
Yeah.
Just because it's so physically, like, so much physical work.
Yeah.
So it's not ending anytime soon, but I don't know if this is something, you know, like after my dad passes that I'll do.
Yeah.
It's like kind of unclear.
Yeah.
I feel like I get burnt out a lot easier than somebody else that got into it 5 years ago mm-hmm. because this has been my whole life.
Yeah.
I have done this. I have seen this my whole entire life. I've seen the cycles that the business has gone through. So I feel like I just get a little bit burnt out quicker than others. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But sometimes I'm just like, all right, I've seen that a million times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, one more time, where can people find you?
You can find me on Morph Market under Ward's World of Reptiles. You can find me on TikTok. TikTok's my biggest platform, WWORP, and Facebook and Instagram. I do some stuff on YouTube, but not a lot.
There's nothing better than the smell of coffee in the morning, okay? There's also nothing better than the smell of reptiles in the morning. Psych. Reptiles with coffee. That's the smell you want. The strongest coffee, all right? We have it for you. Head on over to the description or go to coldbloodedcaffeine.com and use the code reptileswith to get your reptiles with coffee today. If you want to support us, head on over to modernreptileshop.com or in the description where you can find our merch. And the best part is that 1% of the proceeds from the merch gets donated to conservation. One more time, that's modernreptileshop.com or head on over to the description.
Hi, you can find us on Instagram, Bod's Exotic Reptiles, and YouTube under Bod's Exotic Reptiles.
Beautiful. So we're going to talk a little bit tortoises. We're going to talk a little bit iguanas. So iguanas that you're working with, what are you working with?
We have the pied pectinatas or Mexican spiny tail iguanas, and we also have the rhino iguanas.
Cool, cool. So getting into big lizards, why was the direction iguana over, like, let's say, like a monitor?
I don't think that there was like really any thought into that. We went to Iguana Fest.
Okay.
And Jeremy saw Donkey Kong. at Ty Park's place and totally fell in love with the rhino iguanas. All
right.
And the funny story is we were driving there and I said, okay, we're not coming back with any iguanas. Well, I'm the one that talked him into getting the rhino iguana because I saw that he fell in love with them so much that I was like, all right, let's get one.
Yeah.
So we got one. And then a year later, we went back and got two more.
Yeah. Did you get them from as babies and then raise them from there? Wow.
Yeah.
Has it been difficult to breed them or?
No, actually, last year was our first year that both females went, and we actually weren't expecting them to breed yet.
Okay.
We thought we had another year, but they do it all on their own. Yeah. With our outside lizards, we don't like put any pressure on the breeding. It's like if they breed,
understood.
Great. If they don't, that's great too.
Where are you guys located?
St. Pete.
St. Pete. Oh, so it's right there. Yeah, so you got a lot of humidity, exactly what they need. Yeah. What are you guys doing when it gets cold?
Sometimes we have to bring them in. We'll put them in tubs. Because it's so cold at that time, they're kind of dormant, you know?
Yeah,
they
don't
have much energy.
Yeah.
So we put them in tubs. And we also have a hide outside that is heated.
Oh, okay. So it's only when it's like drops real bad.
Right.
For like a couple days kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Understood. Yeah. So I have a female rhino iguana that my friends actually caught that was loose last year at Daytona.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I had a spare cage in my yard, so it was like a surprise when I came back. They were like, we got you this iguana. And she, surprisingly, is super tame.
Yeah. I don't know in general, but our females are a lot more tamer than our males.
Interesting.
Now, our one female is a little bit older, so I don't know if that might have a little bit of something to do with it.
Okay.
But our male does let us go up and pet him now and everything, but he took a little bit more time to acclimate to us.
Cool. So, and then you have pied pectinatas?
Yes.
You prefer those over the bananas? Or is that what? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
We like the black and white, and the white is so stark white that contrast between the two is really nice.
Yeah. I have enough space in my yard. Right now, the rhino iguana is in like a 6x6x5 foot enclosure.
Yeah.
So I have enough space for three more of those.
Oh, nice.
So I was thinking about doing some of the pectinatas, and I didn't know if I wanted to go pied or banana.
I like the pieds. I'm trying to remember correctly. I think the pieds are just a little bit smaller.
Okay.
And I think they might be a little more tamer. Now, I could be wrong on that sense, but if I can remember back from what Ty had told us, he said that those were a little bit tamer. I know that the pectinatas in general are pretty tame.
Yeah. Cool.
So,
I do like that in your guys' display at these shows. Ball pythons. We all have ball pythons. You know, but then you do have the variety. You got your rhinos and stuff like that, crested geckos.
Yeah.
You guys have a lot of crested geckos?
I do. As far as like breeding wise, because I have about 29 breeders is what I keep on hand.
Wow. How do you guys split the duties?
It gets kind of difficult. Being a teacher during the summertime, it's a little bit easier because I have that time all day long. So I'll take care of most of the animals during the day.
Yeah.
But when we are both working full time, it does get a little challenging. We come home and we work until about 8:30 at night.
That's what I was going to say. You're chasing kids all day and then you got to come take care of a crested gecko.
Yeah, but I feel like we enjoy that work.
Understood.
So it makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
Yeah.
It's fulfilling.
We really enjoy it.
Is the plan one day to do like the reptile stuff full time?
Yes.
Okay.
We hope so. That's what we're going towards.
Okay.
So that's why we kind of got into a variety of things.
Yeah.
And I think we just ended up liking so many reptiles that we enjoy it and we wanted to lead our direction in that way.
I think you guys are doing the right things for that, you know, because it's like you have ball pythons, it's higher end ball pythons.
Yeah.
You have, like even the iguanas, like the iguanas specifically that you guys are working with are, you know, higher end iguanas, you know?
Yeah.
And then same thing with the crested geckos. Crested geckos right now are a good investment, you know, right now.
And I do have a lot of higher end in the crested geckos that haven't bred yet, waiting for them to grow. So hopefully I will be in that higher end of the crested geckos as well.
Cool, cool. You're going to do like Exantix? You're going to get...
Well, I'm working with the pinks right now, so I'm hoping to go in that direction, and I'm hoping to start with like a lot of high-end tricolors.
Okay.
So...
Cool.
Yeah,
well,
I'm excited about it.
Good, I'm excited for you. One more time, if you want to tag yourself, let people know where they can find you.
We're on YouTube, Bod's Exotic Reptiles, and Instagram, Bod's Exotic Reptiles.
I'm Eric at Reptiverse. And I breed three stripes and possibly in the future, knobtails and carpet pythons.
Hell yeah. So you're still about these knobtails?
Yes, even more now because now that I've met them in person and I've shook their hands, they're pretty cool animals. They really are.
What is it about the knobtails that interests you?
I love their behavior.
Okay.
So the Levis are known for pretty much doing like the catwalk thing where they kind of raise their back and everything. It's pretty cute. And then the Wheeler Eye kind of caught me by surprise. Those used to be my least favorite because they look like deep fried ants. But now that I've seen them in person, the moment I put that animal in its enclosure a couple days ago.
Oh, you bought one?
No. We have them at the shop.
Oh, okay.
So I set them up in the front with sand and everything.
Yeah.
It started digging itself in place. So I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty dope.
So what's keeping you from getting them then?
I don't know.
Is it just like a financial thing or?
Kind of. Because the ones that I'm looking for are more like the Amyis and the Aspers, but now that I've actually seen all of them now, I'm like, okay, they're actually not all like ugly.
Okay.
So I'm open to the Wheeler Eye and the Levis, the more common ones. But I guess it's also a priority thing. I already have the carpets right now. Mm-hmm. I'd rather finish that endeavor before I get into the knobtails.
Okay.
But I mean, there's a couple of reptile shows coming up soon, so I mean, I might do something financially responsible with them because they are expensive. Amyis, they're
expensive. What's like the going price for them these days?
I've seen females at a grand.
Jesus fucking Christ. Oh my God.
It's going to be fun. So I'd rather save up some money and, you know, hopefully use turtle and carpet money to fund the knobtails. I don't know how fruitful they are. I just think they're pretty cool. And I'd rather specialize in breeding like small amounts of like higher end animals so I'm not sacrificing a lot of quality over quantity.
Yeah, I do think that is a good project to go into. I think the sooner you get into it, the better. The problem is, how do you feel about racks?
With the knobtails, it's not as bad.
Yeah, so I've heard that one of the ways so far that people have been able to reproduce them is specifically keeping them in racks.
I've seen stuff like that.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean you can't do it the other way. I just think that that's the information that's out there. And then me coming from like an investment, quote unquote, point of view, I would consider that when I'm getting into what it is that I'm working with. You know, you kind of start at what information is there and then you find your way, you know, to progress, you know, but you kind of start with whatever starting point you have and, you know, start figuring it out from there. Yeah, dude. So, for those people that don't know, because you're not, you know, in front of the camera, you're usually behind all the time, Eric is the person that mans the one and twos on the regular episodes of the Reptiles With podcast. He's the guy that whenever we say timestamp, he writes it down. Every time we talk about a new topic, he writes it down.
So every time Yosh does that weird hand thing on the camera,
you know,
it's not a tick. He's talking to me.
So. You know, I thought about it sometimes because sometimes I don't even say timestamp. Sometimes I just do this.
Yes.
And then I'm wondering, like, what do people think when
I do it? It looks like a tick. It is the funniest thing ever.
Yeah. So, you know, and we have to put timestamps whenever we say something outlandish, whenever we say something, and I'm like, well, we can't keep that there, you know, because rules and whatnot and the current climate of the world. But Eric is a very big part of what it is that we do, and hopefully we can do some changes very soon where you can be in front of the camera a little bit more. And one of those things is we're trying to start getting into doing some videos.
Thank you for letting me
know. We just did a video of...
it's, morphs.
Yeah, morphs. It's Guess That Morph.
That was fun.
Yeah, it's and we're trying to come at these things where it's like we are not just... how do you say... We're not just doing it like the way that most people do the YouTube. It's like, these are my animals. This is what I do with my animals. This is how you breed this.
Having more fun with it.
Yeah.
Making it a little bit more, like, I guess, more appetizing to the outside world.
Yeah.
Out of the just
reptile
space, at least from what I see.
Yeah. And we try to be, you know, a little bit comical. We try to, you know, it's a a back and forth video. It's, you know, Tino versus Eric, Guess That Morph. We're going to be recording a Guess That Hybrid. We're going to be doing, you know, like a challenge for the people that lose these videos and stuff like that. We don't have to go into who won that video yet. or that challenge, rather. But yeah, dude, I'm really excited for the things that we're doing. So make sure you fucking subscribe, everybody that's out there. Now, as far as turtles, before we get off here, talk to me about your turtles, man. You're breeding three stripes, mud yeah. turtles, the premier reptile, yes. the premier turtle for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm right now. They're kind of I'm giving that the females a break. I've kept the male and the female together for about a little more than 2 years, and after I moved up to Orlando again, I separated them because my female was doing really good. I'm still getting eggs every now and then, but I haven't really been breeding them consistently. I'm still getting eggs, and I have a couple babies right now. I'm waiting to see if those babies grow a little more so I can feel a little bit more comfortable sending them home, just because they're a tiny turtle.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't worry too much about that, and not that I'm saying that you shouldn't. Not
more so from experience, because the few that I have sold or uh-huh. have, like, that have been purchased and stuff like that, not a good track record, even after I've told people everything what
but
they need to do.
But that's a people problem. That's not yeah. a problem with the animal. And mind you, I get it. Like, you want the animals to be hardy, but you'd be surprised how hardy those small turtles are. You know, because clearly you're doing it fine. They're thriving with you. That's more of, you know, a customer kind of issue.
I guess it's more to give those turtles a thicker skin to just in case.
To deal with, okay.
Just in case the brain cells don't reciprocate.
Now, going into the future, is there anything that you're thinking about as far as what you're going to work with?
Other than carpets and knobtails, there's not really anything big.
There's some nice carpets at the show.
I saw a couple today. Yeah. I haven't done my speed runs yet.
Reptodons, Jessel, go to his table. He has a couple there, and they're adults. So
the pop ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw them.
Yeah, if I were you, I'd consider it. If you need to figure something out, we'll figure something out.
Yeah.
But if you had the space for it.
Not yet. Okay. I still got to get babies. But in terms of, like, dream things, which I will gladly take if anybody's listening, if you guys got something, I would like to have a female Puerto Rican boa.
Yes.
That would be it. I'm done. Because my male is supposed to be a female.
It's a boy.
He's waiting. He's waiting. And he's doing good. And I'd like to have a pair of them. That would be, honestly, the coolest thing out there.
Okay.
And maybe a water python, too.
Yeah, water python,
definitely.
That'd be
nice to pair up that water python.
Yeah.
But we'll see how that goes.
I'm most excited about that project.
For that one, it's not so much a breeding standpoint. I just want to make a display for him.
Yeah.
That's a cool animal.
You know,
I'm excited to see how a display would be.
Bro. So, ZooMed has their version of that ExoTerra 36, 18, mm-hmm. whatever the fuck, but Paludarium.
I see.
So, they have...
How long is it?
It's the same size tank. Is that 36? The big, okay. big... Look, the one right behind you. That X, the large extra tall. Okay. Right? But it's Paludarium, so it has more water space.
I see.
Bro, you should get that tank. I will help you design it however you want. The thing is that I am projecting because I want that tank. I cannot get that tank. I have nowhere to put it. But for you, bro, it'd be nice.
Well, once you move Checky outside...
Dude, I don't know. Because the thing is that area in the house is supposed to, like, extend the kitchen.
I guess.
So, yeah. But we're going to get off real quick. Tag yourself one more time.
I'm at Reptiverse on Instagram.
Yes.
Right
and
now.
And listen, you have to be subscribed to this YouTube channel, this podcast. Tune into us because we have big podcasts coming up after this one. We have a podcast with Ron St. Pierre and Eddie Soto.
The localist
of legends.
They're like right down there.
Yes. And then we have the grand debate. It is going to be the Reptiles With Podcast versus US Arc Florida. We have a big debate. And then we get into Daytona, which is supposed to be the big episode where we, you know, talk to a bunch of people that are there, influencers, big breeders, and
it's
all
the big
that
opus.
Jazz. Yeah, this is the place you want to be, my friends. All righty. Thank you, sir. Thanks so much for tuning in. Make sure to leave a comment down below and let us know what your favorite part of this episode was. And one more time, this episode was brought to you by Repticon Reptile Shows, Premium Crickets, and Reptiles Express. We'll see you on the next one.